listening to the oneofus.net podcast network. Well, I feel like we all learned a lot from this movie, but the one thing we know now for sure is that white guys named Chris, they're the cool ones. We got that straight. Oh, a bunch of white, fuck you, white people. Chris, you're okay. Yeah. You can go.
Thank you, Chris. You're fine. Appreciate it.
That's kind of a deep cut joke for this movie itself, which if you see, you'll laugh harder at, even though I do fully admit it is the most boring name in the world. But I am, in fact, the white boy Chris, and joining me on this review are...
JC.
Alan.
Miguel.
And everybody say hi to Alan. Alan Galinsky is the newest member of the Highly Suspect Reviews team.
Hello.
Although Alan and I have known each other for God, like a decade or something.
Over a decade, probably. Yeah. Like 12 years or so.
Yeah, back in our old Fantastic Fest days. And we kind of reconnected at this Fantastic Fest. And I was like, man, you should come do the show with us. And he was like... Yes, please.
I'm happy to be here.
We are talking about The Hate U Give. I kind of feel bad that there's not a single black person in the room, because this movie is definitely about how we non-black people will never understand what it's like to be a black person as much as we try to empathize. And I'm not going to disagree. As much as I'm capable. People are like, oh, yeah, but you don't get to not disagree. Oh, okay. Pipe down and shut up, Cox. The story, this is directed by George Tillman Jr., who directed Soul Food, Men of Honor, the three Barbershop films, which are surprisingly quite good.
Yeah.
I actually thought the third one was the best of the series. I know that makes me a weirdo, but...
Are you serious?
Yeah, I really liked the third one.
Okay.
I like Soul Food a lot, too.
I'll have to check it out.
I never saw Soul Food. And he did Notorious, which I heard mixed things about. Mm-hmm. But clearly a director who likes to deal with, like, black casts, black themes, and this is got to be his magnum opus in terms of that, and that here's a movie with a shit ton of stuff to say that's clearly been thought about, like, to the point of deep eloquence, and yet sometimes feels like it's bursting at the seams with wanting to be more eloquent than the movie is going to have time to express itself.
Yeah.
The story follows Star Carter, played by young Amandla Stenberg, who her family lives in the ghetto, but she has been put into a very nice private school, primarily white private school, because her family does not want her to grow up having to deal with any more violence and drugs and what have you than is necessary, as does her younger brother, and probably eventually her much younger brother. Her father, who is played by Russell Hornsby, is obviously an ex-gangbanger who has left the life because of love, because of being married to the always powerful Regina Hall, and... Meanwhile, his old partner, that he was number two to, Anthony Mackie, is king, still part of the gang, still hanging around the neighborhood looking threatening. But there's a lot of people in this movie here, recognizable people, like Common plays Regina Hall's brother, who is a police officer. Ultimately, the plot here is that Star reconnects with one of her oldest friends she hasn't seen in years at a party. They get pulled over by the cops. He gets shot and killed for nothing, as is the case all too often. And she's stuck in this question of what do you do? She's terrified. She's afraid the cops will seek her out. She's afraid because of the fact that the kid in question had dealt drugs for the local gang, that they're going to try and take her out, that everyone in her private school is going to judge her. She really doesn't know what to do. And same time, she has a group of people of political organizers who are like, you need to say something. You need to put yourself out there. Her mother is like, no, you don't. That's bad. You need to stay out of this completely. And there's
literally
a lot
being pulled in every direction. It's kind of like a Star.
Yeah, exactly. And I thought that ultimately this film kind of eloquently addressed all of these different things, including, like I said, that all important question of like white people who love to go like Black Lives Matter # and things like that. It's like, there's the point you go, you're not really part of this. I mean, thanks for the support and all, but you got to learn when to take a backseat.
There's always whenever this happens, there's always people really think two sides, the side of the victim, and some people think about the side of the officer, the Blue Lives Matter crowd. And we never really think about the people that witness it and what they go through. And it's I mean, yeah, to use a pun, it's way more than just black and white. There's a lot more things that go into when you witness something like this. It's not as simple as it seems to just be like, yeah, it was that officer. Like, there's so much more into it.
Yeah, what I think this movie does well is it tries to portray both sides, right, or all the sides. It gives, you know, it leans more towards the victim, which, you know, it should. But we have Common in here, who's looking pretty rough, I would say. It's been a while since I've seen him. He's looking older to me.
That happens.
Yeah. And, but he's actually an officer, and he's related to them, not by blood, but I think he took care of Star when she was younger. So he's kind of like the guardian angel over this family, making sure kind of nothing really bad ever happens to this family. Not every family that lives in the ghetto has a uncle who's a, you know, a cop, you know.
Who lives in the super rich area of town.
Crazy rich area.
To me, it was kind of like, you're a cop. How are you living in this fucking mansion?
Right.
We didn't get to know what his wife did. Maybe yeah. She was the rep.
True enough. Yeah.
But through Common's eyes, he tells us what the police go through. And what he says is fucked up.
Yeah. You know, no, I mean, there's a great moment where it's kind of like, this is a guy who, like, the film is very much presenting as very sympathetic, even though you're immediately, because you don't encounter him until well after the police violence, which is very shocking in the film to watch. Yeah. Very immediate. Like, it presents him as very sympathetic, even past the moment where he is asked to explain, how can you possibly have sympathy for this police officer? How do you express how in any way this is right, what is going on? And you still kind of feel bad for the guy, because you're like, that's the whole, you yourself are part of a gang, this thing. You yourself have bought into this mentality of things and haven't thought it all the way through. Mm-hmm. This movie is about people who haven't thought things all the way through on multiple different sides and not really acknowledging the sheer complexity of what is happening and how long it's been going on for and how much it's feeding on itself. In fact, the title of the movie itself, I did not, is it The Hate U Give, is like, the, take the first letters, it's thug. It's Thug Life is a, according to the movie/book it's based on, I don't know if this is actually true or not,
Tupac. It's Tupac, quote. Yeah.
Is it? Okay. Yeah. Okay. Is it acronym, right? That's talking about basically when you, this hate that you're giving comes out on your children, who are growing up with even like hate per like doubled and fucking us all because of it.
I think the total acronym is The Hate U Give Little Infants Fucks Everything.
Yeah, something like that.
Or fucks everyone. Thug Life. With that acronym.
Yeah, it was one of my favorite parts of the movie is that like in high school I grew up on hip hop music, and I grew up on Tupac Shakur, and I didn't really grow up on his message, but this movie does touch on how timeless his music was and will really always be. Because the cool thing about his music and the way I experienced it is I wasn't until in college and way older and being really understood his music and what it means, and this kind of touches on that. And I think a lot of young people, especially when they listen to music, they will blow off the fact that he's old, because he's 20 years old, and that didn't make me feel good. but I think people that watch this will kind of go back and even one of Tupac's songs in, I think, 8 years before Obama was elected president, he said one of the lines in one of his songs is, "We ain't ready for a black president," and we really weren't, and we still aren't.
You say that about feeling old. I was just watching Halloween H2O the other day, and I just realized that exactly 20 years later is the new one, which they could have called H4O.
Yep.
And I'm like, boom, we all turned to dust. Yeah, I mean, I did not listen to Tupac growing up. I didn't even know who he was till he was in that movie with Tim Roth. I was a sheltered suburban white kid. Really had no idea. I thought, I remember Run DMC and Ice-T and a couple of those guys, and then I just kind of fell off that whole wagon.
You're literally turning to dust right now.
Yeah. Dude, I mean, I remember listening to the Sugar Hill Gang when that shit was fresh. I knew all the words to that one. That song. I was like, yeah, Superman, he came up to me. I only liked it because it mentioned Superman.
One of the things that I really loved about this movie is especially in this time of where we're, you know, blaming the victim, you know, in current political system. First of all, the person who was killed, Khalil, is being blamed. And then the star, who is the witness, is also being blamed. You know, she's being re-victimized every time she's interviewed by the police or she's interviewed by
by the news,
the reporter. Yeah. Right, yeah. They don't focus on what the police officer did and what happened there. They want to focus on Khalil's past.
Sure.
And, you know, that's really frustrating to see in real life and then frustrating to see in this movie. But I love that they went there, that they did that.
Yeah. This is something I was thinking about afterwards, which is like expounding on a conversation. I don't want to be specific about in the movie, but like if a police officer made a mistake and shot a rich white guy on Wall Street, would the media talk about nothing but, oh, but you were accused of insider trading before? No, of course they wouldn't. Right. They wouldn't even come into it.
No, you would see his family and everybody that he lost, you know. Mm-hmm.
Right, exactly. And like I said, it's just yet another one of the many angles this movie tries to, like, present a big round picture of what goes on when this sort of thing happens. But it is a simmering cauldron of justified anger, this whole movie, that you're constantly both afraid of and feel guilty for being afraid of exploding it, like, outward. I feel like it rests on the shoulders of Amanda Stenberg, who I feel very capably.
She's incredible. Yeah.
She's having an amazing last couple of years, like 18 months. She's in Everything, yeah. which is a movie I really like.
Of course, her big start was Rue in the Hunger Games.
Rue in the Hunger Games. That's pretty cool. I was looking through IMDb. She actually played the younger version of Zoe Saldana in Colombiana.
Right?
Yeah.
She was just in The Darkest Minds, but don't hold that against her.
I haven't seen that, so
it's not good.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Between everything, this, like, she's on her way up.
Yeah, I agree. I think everybody is pretty good in this. At its worst, this film, like I said, it is trying to cram an awful lot of stuff into its 132 minutes of running time, which is long for a movie that is definitely sort of pointed to some degree towards slightly younger audiences.
Yeah.
I think it's very broad at points and even a little soap opera corny at points. But all that stuff is there because they are aiming for a populist audience. This is not something that's there to appeal to people who want to discuss this in ethics class. This is here to explore an audience that of both black and white people and of any color that want to, that need to hear these different perspectives.
There are a couple of things that are a little on the nose about it. Like any scene that's in her Garden Heights home is color corrected to be this like gritty kind of orange, and every scene in her white school is like this pristine blue sheen to it, and it's like, come on.
Well, that's true. We do that in the white. We color correct it. Oh, yeah. Was I not supposed to say anything? Oh shit.
that issue actually kind of gets to both my things that I really love about the movie and my issues with it, like, because it is trying to be a populist, like as far reaching as it possibly can. And it's doing a lot, and it's a lot of movie, and I feel like the movie kind of buckles under that weight at times. But I really do, they don't pull any punches when it comes to like that anger you're talking about in it, and just like all the issues. They really go for it. For a PG-13 movie that's aimed at a younger audience and a broad audience, they don't really sugarcoat like what this movie's really about, like these type of race relations and what that's all those issues. It really goes for it in like that regard.
When it's like going tangential in ways that another movie, several movies that have been about the same subject have not, where it's like, we need to address this aspect of it. It's always an awkward moment when it starts to do it, but the things it actually says are so well written that I'm kind of like, it makes me wish they were spending more time on those tangential side issues as well. Like the whole part I discussed earlier, and this is part of my takeaway as a white guy, is like, feel guilty that I want to do more. I want to say more, but I'm not sure what my place is in all of this other than to tell cops to fuck off, which I was a dead Kennedys man when I was 13. So I've been doing that for a long time. But, like, what about, what are the aspects of white culture that are really unfeeling when we think we're being sensitive? And I feel like the movie deals with some interesting things with that, but doesn't go into it as much as I would like to hear more of. It's like, what do you guys want from us? What can we do? How can we help? And not be a fucking asshole.
Yeah, yeah, this definitely wasn't like a white savior movie.
No.
Which is great.
No. In fact, like I said earlier, the white guy, Chris, in the film, who is the one, like, honest to God, straight up decent white guy. And not that there's villainous white people in this movie per se.
There's no mustache.
Everybody's
twirling.
Shades of gray, if you will. But, like, he's given just enough to go, like, you're right. I don't understand.
Yeah.
And I want to do. I just want to listen and be there for you, which is, I suppose, the right answer.
Sometimes that's really all they want is for someone to say, like, what can I do? I want to help.
Yeah.
And then from there, like, you're admitting your ignorance, but you want to help. And yeah, because I think it does even explore the other side of that, to where the friend who's feigning sympathy, because when push comes to shove, she didn't really feel that way.
Yeah.
And it was
going, of course, Black Lives Matter, but so do Blue Lives. And it's like, you are missing the point entirely.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I'm not saying cops should die. You're missing, if you're equating these two in this context, you're missing the point.
Yeah.
And that was I thought a pretty eloquent example of someone missing that point and someone trying to explain it to them unsuccessfully.
Yeah. And then never getting it. Like, that person is probably in. If this movie were to fast forward 20 years, that person probably would never get it.
We'd probably still not get it. And probably end up voting for whatever the version is of Trump in the future.
Yeah.
Shut your mouth.
I kept thinking, as long as this is, I would totally have watched this if it was like a 6-episode Netflix miniseries. Mm-hmm. I think it would have been better suited in that way. It would have had more time to explore some of these side things. As it is, it does. Even at 132 minutes, there's no fat to trim here. It's bursting at the seams with information and ideas, and there isn't enough time to explore.
So, something like that, I think, would have just given us extra filler that wasn't really needed. It just would have been, you know, like, extra cake to eat. We would have seen more scenes of Russell Hornsby and Anthony Mackie as they were younger, and kind of him, you see his evolution and thinking and things like that.
I would have liked to have seen that.
Yeah.
Never complain about extra cake to eat.
Right. And in this movie, that wasn't really necessary, but if we would have seen it, would we have loved it? Yeah, we probably would have loved it.
Probably would have.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to final thoughts, and why don't you get us started, Miguel?
You know, this movie is hard to review because I think it's an important movie. I remember when I was in my formative years, you know, late 80s, early 90s, there was a big push for social justice with the Rodney King verdict and all that sort of stuff. You saw hip hop grow out of that. And out of that, you saw a black movie, like directors coming out of that. You know, you had Menace to Society, South Central, Boys in the Hood. They had a different message. And now, with this generation, we're going through the same thing. We have this social justice thing where black people are getting killed, you know, in the streets. You know, unarmed black men are being killed in the streets. And now the answer to that isn't so much the violent part of it. We're getting the positive part of it, that let's make a change for it. So we're getting this movie, and we're getting Sorry to Bother You, and we're getting one that came out earlier this year.
Blindspotting.
Yes.
Yeah, which thankfully is finally getting its full theatrical release very shortly.
So,
home release. Bodied is the one I'm thinking about. Yeah. It's finally getting its full theatrical release.
So it's like two sides of the same coin, you know? So it's kind of interesting to see different generations' reactions to, you know, that social justice change. So this is an important movie. I think it's not fun to see. My stomach was in knots, you know, pretty much all the time. My hands were in fists, you know. But with that being said, it's a very serious movie, but there are some genuine funny parts to it. You know, there's a Guess Who's Coming to Dinner scene, kind of, you know, right smack dab in the middle of it. That was really fun. And also they had the youngest son as kind of a breaking up the tension a little bit. So I really enjoyed it. I can't believe the woman who wrote the source material is like 29 or 30 years old. You know, like, what the heck have I done with my life? you know, I enjoyed it. I think it's important.
No. She's older than that.
She wrote the screenplay.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, okay. The author, yeah.
Yeah. She was born in 1960.
Yeah. The woman who wrote the book is
like okay, Angie Thomas. Yeah, you're right. Holy shit. Yeah. God damn.
So, you know, more power to her.
Yeah, I can't wait to see what else she does next.
Yeah, because this is her first book.
Jesus.
So, that's crazy. So I would give it, you know, I would probably give it 8 out of 10 motivational speeches.
Alan.
All right. I really loved everything about the movie I had to say. I love all the writing is really good, but I am struggling with like how much it had just trying to get into one movie a little bit. And it's just like by the end of that movie, it starts to like after scene after scene after scene, as it gets towards the end, it starts to almost buckle under that way. Like I said earlier, like you can't believe this is like, the B plot starts to eat away at the A plot, like a little bit too much. And some of its message kind of gets buried in there. But I will say like, it all kind of rests on that on the star Amanda. What's her name?
Amanda Stenberg.
Stenberg, yeah. I will say, like her performance, all the performances really, but she really holds that movie down. She's incredible in it from the first act when she's just very light and charming. Like it does a lot to you because you watch her be this very charming, very like charismatic person, and after the inciting like incident happens, you see how much it devastates her, and like she has to carry that shift so much. She's smiling, she's joking, and her by the end of the movie, she is, you know, her face is sunken, she's like in tears, and it's a really incredible transition. It's like, her performance alone puts the movie way up for me. Yeah. I will say I do. It's a lot of movie in one, so I give it a. I guess I'm going to go 7 out of 10.
That's the hard part. That's here we go. His first arbitrary rating.
I'll go with 14 out of 10 movies because it's so much movie in one.
Mm-hmm. JC?
From the trailer, yeah, I expected a lot out of this movie, and for me it really delivered. I've been a big fan of Amanda Stenberg for a while, and I figured she was going to nail it. Every performance here is really good. I can't think of very many things where I've seen the father, Russell Hornsby, but he was amazing throughout this. Probably, besides the character of Star, he might have been my favorite.
I know. I'm sad to say I know him mainly from the show Grimm.
I think he's a lot of TV.
Yeah. He was on In Treatment, Lincoln Heights.
He's a face I've definitely seen before, but it's just like I can't think of anything specific like that he was in. So I really hope to see more of him out of this. If I had to have one stickling point, I was kind of joking about it afterwards, and I'm not normally one who like sticks up for my Latino people, but like it would have been a little bit nice to see some Latino representation in this.
So there was a character who was another one of her friends in school that looked like she was maybe half Asian, half Latino.
Yeah.
But it was kind of like, she could have been Inuit for all I could tell.
Yeah.
It was just one of those, like, I don't know. I mean, but it wasn't representative, certainly.
Yeah. And Latino people don't face quite the scrutiny that black people have over the years, or even in this specific situation of getting pulled over for no reason. But, like, at least twice in my life I've been pulled over because the cop told me I fit some kind of a description. And one of those times, as soon as the cop asked me to get out of the car, he saw, like, I'm a pretty big dude with a bunch of tattoos. I saw him kind of take a step back and was just, like, kind of brace himself and be, like, reassess the situation. And where I was like, calm down, man.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a big teddy bear.
I was just listening to The Grateful Dead. What's going on?
So I think it would have been nice to see a little bit of Latino representation. But, I mean, everything everyone here said, I agree with. It's a really important movie. It's one that I think people should see. I haven't seen Monsters and Men, so I don't know how it really compares to that. But I
heard good things.
Yeah, and you just knew with all these things coming to light the last couple of years that there was going to be movies about this, and it's such a daunting task. Like, if you're going to do a movie about this based on this real life, like, you've got to nail it, and this movie really does. Yeah, I would give it 8 out of 10. This is my other favorite part of this movie, Space Jam Jordan 11.
God damn it!
that's my favorite. Him. That's my favorite sneaker of all time.
I didn't even know it was a real sneaker. I was just like, it already like, oh, I got mine. I'm set.
The Jordan 11s are my favorite sneaker of all time, and the Space Jam colorway is one of my favorites.
That's hysterical, but that's a real thing.
That's two in a row now. I've stolen somebody's arbitrary.
You're getting good at that.
Yeah.
One thing, first off, Monsters and Men, we just put up a review like day before yesterday, I believe, on the Screener Squad for that. So if you want to hear a review of that, which they liked quite a bit, please check that out as well. Second, I'm sorry about the Latino thing, but I do feel this movie accurately represented white guys named Chris, and I feel very inclusive, like a positive for that reason.
I'd just like to say thank you, Chris.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome. I'm glad I could help as much as I could.
Thanks for being white, Chris.
Yeah. No problem, citizen. Yeah, this is a movie that I got a lot of feels from, but like across the board, I was laughing, I was crying, I was angry as fuck, because I have a lot of very negative feelings, much like my cohort at Double Toasted, Martin Thomas, does about police officers, and the whole culture, the whole blue culture really kills me that this isn't just so obvious that they're not just another fucking gang with a gang mentality that is in fact in charge, that no one is going, guys, this is relatively easy to fix. You just go, hey, if you're a police officer, you should be incredibly well paid, incredibly well trained, and also highly aware that anything you do wrong, you are doubly as much responsible for as a regular citizen are because of the level of responsibility that you have. It's a huge responsibility to be a police officer.
Regular psych background checks, probably not a bad idea.
Yeah, exactly. And we are not treating it like an important job. We're treating it like a garbage man job. You know, it's like, why are we not giving this some degree? Sorry, apologies to any people who are garbage men. You're very important what you do, but your life is probably not as regularly in danger as police officers are. Like, I say this is a thing that does desperately need to be addressed in that context of, like, the same way that we're not addressing education. Why are we not fixing? Isn't the problem that everybody's fucking stupid? I think that's self-evident, too. All right, I'm going to get off my soapbox here. Even my cat's giving me a dirty look now. I thought this was great. I think this is example that you can do things with the YA genre and that are considerably better and more important and more fun to watch than, well, the last film Amanda Stenberg was in. I'm sorry, that movie was terrible. Which also based on a YA novel. This is a movie I would say I was on the phone on the way back from the screening with a friend of mine who's a white girl with a daughter who's about 11 years old. And she's like, should I take my daughter to see this? I was like, abso-fucking-lutely, you should take your daughter to see this movie. And you should make her take a bunch of her friends too, because white, privileged, like white chicks, probably a big important audience that should be sitting down for this film that maybe are not going to otherwise. And it's a shame. I kind of love this thing. It's one of my favorite YA adaptations we've seen yet, and yet hyper aware of the things Alan was like going, like, it is overstuffed. There, part of the reason is because it's so goddamn eloquent at saying the things it wants to, that when it doesn't say enough or it doesn't address things that it hints at, like, there's a whole thing with Russell Hornsby that about, like, controlling that anger that is addressed but never feels like it comes to a real fruition and a closing point. It feels like an open-ended discussion that they never finish talking about, that frustrated me. I was like, because that's the hardest thing, right? All of that anger. How do you process that when it is justified anger, but you realize ain't no good is going to come of acting on it?
Yeah. And yeah, and I should say, like, my frustration with what you're saying is because everything is so good. Like,
yeah.
All the things you're saying, the way they're saying it is so good, when there's not enough time for each of these things, it's just more frustrating that there's not more of it. And, like, you don't necessarily want anything taken away because it's all, like, very well said and well performed, well written, well directed. It's just too much.
It made me want more. And, yes, it is actually very well directed. At worst, some of the more cliched parts do involve the white people. Even, yes, I'm sad to say, white boy Chris is kind of a walking plank of wood in some ways. You're like, okay, sure. You served your purpose well in the film, I suppose, but your CW level performance here is not really giving me much. So yeah, I have a mixed reaction, but I think what this film does great is important. I'm going to give it 8.5 out of 10 times that I totally agree that Russell Hornsby should be in more good stuff. Cause goddamn, that guy was great.
Yeah.
He's one of those, like, we've had a slew of very remarkable, performances from black actors lately of, like, newcomers where you're just like, dude, who is that guy? like the first Purge, even we kept talking about the guy from there who's like, you're like, why would anybody care about some dude in the first Purge? But we're like, hey, Marvel, we found your next Blade. I'm just saying, he's in this crappy movie. But seriously, forget all that. Just cast him. But yeah, Hornsby is so good in this. Everybody's good. Obviously, Amanda Stenberg is on her way to, you know, way ever since she played Rue, she's been on her way up a steadily ascending ladder. But everybody's good in this. Algie Smith.
I'm pronouncing it correctly.
Yeah, who was in the New Edition story miniseries on BET and was in Detroit.
He was charismatic as fuck.
Yeah.
He was
so charming.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, that was kind of the point of him is, like, he has this amazing smile. She kept mentioning his dimples. He does have hella dimples, you know, at one point when I was younger.
I was crushing
hardcore. Were you? Oh, you're all about Ace of fucking Miguel's all like that. Oh, you open up his locker at school and it's just all pictures.
Oh, okay, so I'm blushing away.